Elhamdülillah Rabbil Alemin. Estağfirullah ellezî lâ ilâhe illâ huvel hayyul kayyum ve töbü ileyh. Mesle'l tevbete vel mağfirete vel hidayete innehu ettevvâbur rahîm. Vaffu enna ya kerîm, vaffu enna ya kerîm, vaffu enna ya kerîm. Vahhirlina bi faddike ya rahman ya rahîm. Ya meliki ya kudüsü ya hafızı ya Allah. El evveli Allah, el ahiri Allah, el zahiri Allah, el batini Allah, hayrihi ve şerrihi min Allahu Teala. Ve eşhedü en la ilahe illallah vahdehu la şerike le. Eşhedü enne Muhammedun abduhu ve resuluhu. Esselatu vesselamu aleyke ya Resulallah. Esselatu vesselamu aleyke ya Habiballah. Esselatu vesselamu aleyke ya seyyidel evvelin vel ahirin. İşverena ya şefi'el müddidin. Bi rahmetike ya erhamer rahimin. Allah-u Teala fi kitab-ül aziz, evzi billahi mineşşeytanirracim, bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Ve vesvese ileyhi şeytan, kâle, ya Âdemu, hal edulleke alâ şeceretil huldi ve mülkin la yeblâ, sadakallahu aziz. Allah-u Teala says, and the şeytan lied to Hazreti Adem aleyhisselam. And he said, O Adam, shall I lead you to a tree of immortality and riches which decay not? I talked about Shaitan al-Ain last time, and I hope to continue talking about it today. What is it that makes us vulnerable to the influence of Shaitan al-Ain? It is more or less our nature never to admit to any fault and to attribute always when we do something wrong to somebody else. It is the fault of the man I murdered that I murdered him. It is the fault of the man which I stole from. It is the fault of the husband whose wife I have adulterated with. It's always somebody's fault. Go and ask to a modern psychiatrist. All the trouble which we are in is our parents' fault. So if we cannot find anybody else to blame for our evil actions, we blame Shaitan al-Ain. Well, it doesn't work that way. At the time of the Ottoman Empire in the city of Istanbul, there was a homeless beggar in winter. He had just enough money in his pocket to be able to buy a poppy candy, an opium candy. It used to exist in Turkey. There is a section of Turkey which is called Afyon, which is called opium. They grow opium there, and they don't only refine it as opium, they eat it, they make cakes out of it, they fry eggplants on the opium oil. They are always like that. So in the old days, there were opium candies which you can buy very cheaply. So he had enough money to buy this opium candy to cheer himself up and go and stay in the Turkish hammam, Turkish bath, get away from the cold of the night. So he took the opium candy and he was chewing it. He paid at the door to the Turkish hammam. They gave him a patched thing, which a towel which he wrapped around himself. And there was nobody in the hammam. And in the middle of the hammam, right under the dome, there is a raised platform, which is the hottest place. So he went and lied down on it. And soon enough, the door of the hammam opened, and there came in, obviously, a very rich man with four attendants holding his arms and holding towels and soaps and behind him. And what the poor man saw, that rich man looked exactly like him. So in any case, they took the rich man to a little private section, which is in the hammams. There are little chambers where you can go if you want to by yourself. And then they left him to sweat, because the custom is you go to a kishar hammam, and for half an hour you sweat, and then they come and rub you and take your dead skin and then soak you, etc. So when the attendants left, the poor man, the beggar, the homeless man, went into that private chamber and looked in into this man who looked very much like him. And all of a sudden he sees that the man was lying on the ground dead. He looked at him, and indeed he looked exactly the same way. So he took the silk towel out of him and wrapped it around himself, and he put this patched old towel of his around the man, and he dragged him to the platform where he was lying down, and he came back and sat in its place. And soon enough, there came the attendants. They washed him and they scrubbed him and they cleaned him, they massaged him, and then afterwards they got him out and put him a wonderful coat around him and brought him to a private room, and they brought him fruit juice and cakes and tea, and then finally he's not speaking. So then they dressed him up and gave him a fur coat, it's winter, and he put his one pocket in his hand and was full of gold. He's very happy. And so they took him in this fantastic carriage, and they took him to his palace, and they asked him, "Master, would you like to go to the harem?" He said, no, to the men's section. So he went to the men's section. They brought him food to eat and everything else. Nobody recognizes him. They think he's the rich man. So after eating and drinking, and all of a sudden somebody came in and told him that he was asked to go to the palace to see the Sultan. And could he kindly, immediately, somehow get dressed and go? And of course the man is horrified, and he looks at the window. The window is like this, he can just get out. And so he ran out of the window. They saw him running out. They said, "What is happening to this man?" They are running after him, he is running. And so there was a nearby mosque. He goes to the mosque, and on the basement of the mosque, there is a section where they wash the dead and would wrap him up and put him in the coffin. There is a place where there are many coffins. So he goes and hides himself in an empty coffin. And they couldn't find him, and they go, "Wait, what?" All of a sudden, in the other coffins, there are bandits who have been hiding there too. They get up and they see him, that he's not one of them. And this time the bandits are chasing him with swords in their hand. So he runs around the mosque and finds the door of the minaret, and he climbs up the steps of the minaret, and he's at the balcony of the minaret, and the bandits are coming to kill him. There is no other solution except to throw himself down from the minaret. He throws down in the minaret, screaming. He opens his eyes. He had just fallen asleep. And he has dreamt all this. And he has just fallen out from the platform on which he was lying down. And of course the owner of the bath came in with all the screaming and shouting. They threw him away. This is what waswasa is. Ibadallah. This is when the beggar dreams that he is a king. When the stupid dreams that he is wise. When the weak dreams that he is strong. When the old dreams that he is young. In short, when we do not see the reality of the thing, and instead of abiding with the reality of who we are and what the situation is, and we start dreaming that the situation is other than what it is, and we are other than it is, and we are not satisfied with what we have, because we are arrogant and we think that we deserve better, so we imagine that we are better, we imagine that what we deserve better, and that we may even hope to get better than what we have. When Martin Luther King, who I respect very much, gave that big speech and said, "I have a dream." Well, you can dream as much as you want to. Look, what is the state of the black Americans today? Not really much better than, instead of being killed by the Ku Klux Klan, now they are getting killed by the policemen. Dreams do not help. Reality helps. So when we are open to the suggestion of the shaitan lying, is when we are in the state of waswasa, which is an imagination of unreality, which we think, we hope, we dream to be in, instead of being in the state in which we are. Instead of showing tabakkul and rida of the situation in which we are, we dream to be a king when we are a pauper. And that is when shaitan is lying comes to help us. And remember one more thing. When Allah Ta'ala kicked out the shaitan al-la'in from his mercy, Jibreel alayhi salam cried. And Allah Ta'ala said, "Ya Jibreel, why are you crying? Are you sad that I am kicking out Iblis from the Jannah?" "No, Ya Rab," he said, "no, no. I am crying for myself," said he. "I am crying that it would happen to me too. Who are we? Just because we come to the Friday prayer, just because we make our prayers 5 times a day, just because we fast during the Ramadan, just because we are called Hassan, Hussein, Ali, or Muhammad, and that we are Muslims, that our end is secure. who were and hear our end. If Jibril alayhi salam would think that what has happened to Shaitan al-Ain could happen to him, who are we to be sure of our tomorrow? Ya Rabbi, have mercy on us. Ya Rabbi, have mercy on us. Take away from that horrible, horrible sin which is in all and every one of us, that we are thinking that we are better Muslims than the others. The sin of Ujub, the worst kind of kibir, much worse than thinking you are more intelligent or you are stronger and you are more knowledgeable and or you are more rich than everybody else. But just the idea that I am a better Muslim, I am a better mu'min than others. Ya Rabbi, have mercy on us. Ya Rabbi, show us what we really are. Ya Rabbi, show us what the real reality is. Ameen. Bi hurmati Sayyidina al-Mursaleen, Taha wa Yaqeen. Allahumma salli wa sallam.